Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
Watch this.
They gonna wanna hit the horns.
Journal. You can't read it unless you see it. And when you see it, you got to read it. I don't know where that came from, but it sounded good to me this morning. It is a beautiful, beautiful morning, I'm sure, throughout this country. Some areas are cold. If you hear a little fog in my voice, I've been talking all day and all night. But you know what? The show must continue to go on. We got so much to talk about, give you something to put on your plate, to tune your minds, or get you in tune of what where we're headed today. We'll probably look at some gun laws, convictions. What is conviction? Am I just dreaming of what's going on? Vice President Kamala Harris becomes president, even if it's just for 85 minutes. The highest ranking woman ever in the history of politics in America. Flight travels, you know, we always talk about going through TSA and everything, but a gun discharges in Atlanta, mad scramble in the airport. You know, I've always talked about let's create a watch that is running backwards. Backwards to the point where time is trying to repeat itself. And I'm talking about certain ethnic groups want to take over. First, we had the insurrection day in January. Then we go back a little further back, and we look at Ahmaud Arbery, and his case is going on. The case that went on in Wisconsin, and I want to really hear about that one because this is strange to me. Trayvon, Breonna, George Floyd. The more we think we're moving forward, we're moving backwards. Something to think about, plus anything else you want to talk about this morning, all you got to do is press 1 and we'll get you on. We're going to bring in Harold right quick before he goes and do some community service this morning. We appreciate him all day, every day. Let's bring in the Prime Minister, Oak Cliff, Job his finest. Oak Cliff, everything. Harold Horatio Hubbard, good morning, sir.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you doing this morning, doctor?
Oh, man, I probably need IV, coffee, but you know what? I'm going to keep on ticking, and that's what we're going to do this morning. But I'm doing fine,
man.
Got to,
man.
Speak about prejudice.
Got to.
Sure beats the alternative. Now, we got a lot on our plate, so skip around if need be. We got so much, but let's talk about this air travel. You're a military man. You've shot plenty of guns. understand
don't be putting all my business out there like that, though, bro.
Okay, I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
You've had some guns at the fair. So much. What was the brother man thinking about at the airport?
Man, I'll be honest with you, man. It's kind of different there.
A loaded gun.
In this day and time. Yeah, in this day and time, that's a little different. But I'll tell you, man, I had a incident back in the 90s, of course, before 9/11 and all that. I had caught a flight, was catching a quick flight to Houston, and you know how you're rushing, you ain't going to check nothing, but you grab your little shaving kit, and man, I threw my toothpaste and everything in there. Man, I get to the check, the little thing you go through, I had some extra 40 cals, single bullet in my doggone shaving thing. You know what they did? Sir, we're going to have to keep those. But like I said, that was a whole different time and place. So I said that to say, in this time that we live in now, that's kind of hard to think of a responsible gun owner doing that. That's my statement on that.
Well, you speak about responsibility.
Yeah.
Did he have mental capability to even have a gun? If you're going to try to pass
that, I don't know, because I don't know the specifics of the story, to be honest with you. I just know that it happened in Atlanta,
right?
And they went on a complete lockdown. You know, I don't know all the specifics of all that stuff, but that's something that's going to be looked at, I'm sure.
Right. But if you're trying to pass the gun, obviously it wasn't a procedure of trying to catch TSA or keep them on their toes. But when you flee, and you know they have a million cameras at the airport.
That's a whole nother level there. Where are you going to go?
I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to throw this way out in left field. They talk about what's in your wallet. But what was he, thinking? What was he thinking?
He wasn't, man. You know,
and
that kind of reminds me, man.
Go ahead, man.
I was just going to make another analogy to something similar to like what you said, what you got in your wallet, where he's going to go. I can remember back being in, you know, high school, early driver, you know, us young men, we like to drive fast and all that stuff. But my dad told me, he said, man, I don't care how fast your car is, you can't outrun that radio. You know, speaking about a cop, they could always radio ahead. And now this day and time we live in, like you said, it's a million cameras. We're not even counting the ones in everybody's hands and their cell phones. But around that airport, can you just imagine how many times your image is caught and used for different databases and searches? So it's obvious that that the individual wasn't thinking, Andrew, is what it really boils down to in this sad commentary.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. Could you send
make
it to the store without a list?
Exactly.
Could you send it to the grocery store without a list?
No, it better not be two items on there of one, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Just go get
but
the
again,
butter. You go get the butter. We'll send somebody else to get the bread.
Well, why don't you go with him? Because, again,
yes, be
my
best
thing,
not to send him if you want to go there. Yeah, be best not to.
But that's good, too. But you're endangering a lot of lives at that airport.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
One, if it did discharge, you could have easily hit someone. Or the way people were scrambling,
trying
out emergencies, everything. You know,
I tell you what, man, look at it like this. Look at it like this. Just the mere mention of an emergency like that could have been a repeat of what just happened here in our state in Houston. You know, more people got hurt by running from the incident from what actually had been started. You know, when you start, that's kind of like the old days. Remember how we were always told not to yell fire in the theater? Do you remember that?
Right.
Similar situation. I mean, not just the firing of the bullet, but just the pure panic could have caused injury to innocent people. So yeah, that's a different kind of situation there, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that everyone panned well after that incident in Atlanta. And it makes you wonder when you travel. Definitely have to be a little bit more attentive.
Man, I wish I was going to be here to hear from Mark when he come on, because you know he's going to have something to say, some inside information on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mark's on that road. Mark's on the road. And we're going to try to get him on.
Okay.
Yeah, try to get him on, because he, you know, he always brings you a different perspective, and I always laugh at him.
On anything. Yeah, on anything.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's a cumulative
cloud. You got some hot stuff this morning, man. You wanna hit this other one real quick, just to throw some stuff out there, or what you want to do?
Yeah. We're gonna throw it out there. The thing is,
you got some hot stuff today.
Yeah, but we want our people that's online to participate, press the button so we can get them on, and you know, I think Wisconsin kind of set the president this week.
Man, it took all the headlines, didn't it?
No,
that and another useless murder of a rap artist. You know, that's always on the news there in the middle of the week.
Yeah, Him and his girlfriend, if I'm not mistaken, right? The rapper and his girlfriend?
No. Nah, just him. No. That's a rumor.
It was just a girlfriend. Okay.
Yeah, they're just showing memories of them together, and they've been together for a minute, so. Yeah.
Okay, Mark, well, I wanted to wait. This was my appetizer. Not my appetizer.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. You know me. I come in and just start munching.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you got to eat what they put on the table. So you might get that main course. So we're going to talk about
the dessert, too, so if we have to.
Yeah. It depends on what they put on the table. But before we get into that hot great day for America, even if they don't want to say it, only in America, that Vice President Kamala Harris became president, even if it was only for 85 minutes. President.
Can you imagine how many of our loved ones that have gone on that would have just teared up at the mere mention and the actuality that happened, Andrew? You know, I mean, we can just stay within our own households. You know, your parents, my mother, you know, you got to see a black president, but a black woman. Like you said, don't matter how short it was, that is very historic. That is something else there. I'm be honest with you, Andrew. I didn't think I would see that in my lifetime, even the Obama part. So I hadn't even fathomed the black female part.
Right, but can you imagine what this country has gone through? And even before the rising of Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, people were settling with Clinton as being the first black president. Remember all the comedians?
Hey, I'm guilty. I raised my hand. I was guilty.
You know, that he had that swag, and then President Obama stepped up and put that swag in with the tan. Put it in.
Exactly.
Now, remember, even show you how America is. Even being qualified, he was questioned about his birth certificate. And we don't have to explain who that was. But at that moment, even when we're rising, there's someone always trying to keep their foot on your neck. And he got up there to the moment of when he dropped the mic and said, Obama out. Obama out. So you can't change the history book. You know, yesterday, old folks used to tell me, don't cry about yesterday, it's gone. And you don't know what tomorrow holds. You just better enjoy today, because tomorrow may not ever get here. Something to think about. And here she has presidential powers. Let's make sure that we clarify that. She had the presidential powers. So now, I took Street 101. Let me see what that means. If I gave you the power, that means you was in charge. So if anything was to happen within those 85 minutes, it was her call. Her call.
Yeah.
So, you know, they upset on the other side, on the right, or the left, or the right. A hopping, you know, either one. Now, is there true party commitment? Not today. You know, you think you have a lean to the left, a lean to the right. People might not even lean at all. Playing politics in Washington. And folks, if you're pissed off about things that are going on in Washington, we have to encourage people to get out there and vote. This thing is probably going to get a little worse before it gets better. But God bless America. That because, again, not only from the political arena, which a lot of this is really stemming from, but you can go and you can kill somebody of color. And you don't go to jail. You can kill somebody of non-color, trying to support people of color, and you can lose your life.
That's right.
How this watch I wear is running backwards. Mr. Johnson helped you get a farm. Mr. Johnson never get a chance to see you work your farm.
Wow.
Could you imagine if I had my mother drive me across state lines and I had an assault rifle? You think I'll be able to walk any street in America?
Oh, man, he walked past the police, man. I mean, supposedly, allegedly after the shooting. So, I mean, come on, man.
17-year-old at the time.
Right.
There was another 17, 18-year-old teenager. Let's put it like this, another teenager with a bag of Skittles.
Right.
Didn't take a life, lost his life. And we were looking for justice. Zimmerman got off. Kyle got off. So it doesn't matter what the crime that may have been committed, but the thing that's in common has to be the skin color. People can get mad, but I just call it like I see it, and I'm calling it like they're seeing it too. But is our country moving backwards again? As we are in this 21st century, are we going back to the 18th? Going back to 1763? Are we going back to Virginia, Jamestown? We didn't ask to come over here. We came and made
we tried to resist arrest. What do you mean we didn't ask?
Right.
We tried
well,
to resist arrest.
Tried to resist. We jumped off ships. And I am in the Caribbean. It's evident.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this. And then when they were afraid to move westward, we paved the way from the Atlantic to the Pacific. Paved the way. And some of us are still paving the way. Because, again, every step we take to the right, they're pulling us back to the left. It's amazing. Had Kyle
it
been...
It is amazing.
Look, if Kyle, and I could go out with a crazy name, but I'm going to put it Charles Williams III. Let's keep it home. Have been walking as we've been to in Wisconsin. You know what? I'm not gonna put it all on Wisconsin. Anywhere from
America.
Alaska, well,
yeah, I'll just
Hawaii,
say America.
Yeah, from Hawaii to the East Coast. With a gun. Oh, you wouldn't have been nowhere.
That's right.
And if I seem angry, I'm only angry because I have a son out there. I have a family out there. And everyone listening is my family as well.
Right.
That we can't get a fair shake. First it was the job.
It's so sad, man. It's so sad.
And now,
have you seen some of the commentary?
Walk down with a gun.
Right
there. His mother should have gone to jail too. You're driving this kid across the line. What does your son have on you? Where's that parental support? Where's that parental guidance? To say, why are you going to Wisconsin? He wants it at 17, trying to take matters in his own hands. Well, he took
mob it. Mentality, man. Mob vigilante mentality. Thuggish mentality. Let's go on and call it what it is.
It left the
word
to the jury. Unanimous. The judge throwing out stuff, throwing out that he had an assault rifle. It's almost like you ignore what he had.
Yeah.
To me, the way the judge made it, like the young man had a water pistol, He ain't have no gun. He has a water pistol in his mindset.
Hey, you know what, Andrew? I'm gonna ask you something. Hold on, Aaron.
He had a super soaker. Let's go way back. In his mind, not
right.
a gun, a super soaker. So I'm looking
at. He might have thought he was playing a video game.
And that could be the problem as well. You want to censor rap music and put explicit. Tag on it. But then again, Big Bunny is with these video games. Go ahead, you were about to say something.
Oh, I was going to tell you that, man, I got so much going on right now. Man, it's so much, man. What I am going to tell you is that, what about the self-defense, the whole self-defense as his defense? Have you ever – that sounds kind of premeditated to me. That's just like if me and you get in a fight, Andrew, and one of us getting the best of each other and we don't handle it right there and one of us leave and show up with a weapon, the whole self-defense thing out of the – question. That's more
well, first
of
all, I'm not going to see
or you know what I mean. And so
yeah.
I don't get it, man. They're blaming it on the laws in Wisconsin and the state laws and how they protect the person. And sound like another stand your ground excuse to me. That's what it basically sounds like, Andrew.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, man.
But
it's a mess, man.
Amazing.
It's a mess.
17. Now he's 18 as an adult.
Grown man. Yeah, grown man. Oh. And now he getting – and hey, real quick, Andrew, I got to go. But make sure you get some emphasis on this. This guy had the defense funds like he was a member of the Hunt of Rothschilds. This trailer – no, let me stop calling. I was going to call him something. But this guy that had absolutely no financial means had special interest cash. His own defense attorney said it, that he stuff was happening that he didn't even agree with, like this film crew that was following him around that we all know about now, and him being coached up to do these fake Hollywood theatricals. He was going to cry that same way. He had practiced it, Andrew. He was going to cry that same way. Whether you found guilty or innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to drop the mic, man. I'm going to join you back in a minute when I'm on my way to my next stop, man. But just think about that. You know? If me and you go get in some trouble right now, our families would have to put up our house to defend us against some stuff that we didn't even do. But these special interests.
House call, they're
saying. It's in the
middle. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
On the taxpayers.
Man, I'm getting ready to go in here and say a quick prayer. I see my dad and him walking in, so I'm going to go in here and give me a little service before I go be of some service to the homeless. But I'm going to chime back in before you get off.
All right.
And I probably be listening
to
longer
doing
than
the good thing. Doing a good deed this
morning. Man, I have to, man. I do so much bad, I got to do some good.
Well, remember, let's
not
do
bad,
one of the
bad, but bad,
out.
Good.
Yeah, be more better than bad.
That's right. That's right. I'll talk with you in a little bit.
Right.
I'll be listening.
All
right, brother.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's about 36 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live on location this morning in this beautiful, beautiful world that we live in, down in the sunny shine state this morning. Might as well let the cat out of the bag. But I was still with my mobile studio this morning. But great things are happening even in the midst of the storm that we are living in. Hopefully Cheryl, if she gets the opportunity, come on in. And trying to get Mark as well to bring some commentary. But, folks, again, we're looking at old times. It was like if somebody helped somebody black back in the day, they lost their life. And those who were protesting and those who lost their lives that were shot and injured as well, they were helping us, protesting for us. And a 17-year-old came in and said, nah, you can't do that. That same 17-year-old got a couple years older. The prosecution put it out there. Had some holes in it only because the judge put holes in it from the beginning. Again, how many cases are getting set up like that we don't even know about? And it hurts because it was justice served. I can sum it up in one word, no? All these technicalities, and even when you've seen this, the way it looks, people are not, are we polarizing our own vision where we can't see this? Do we have to ask Stevie Wonder to see it? Anybody else that can't see it all? But it's a travesty. A travesty. Had my mother driven me across state lines to shoot someone, we don't even care what the cause may have been. But the fact that I shot somebody and killed somebody, what's the old adage? The kid literally got away with murder. Got away with murder. For my self-defense. It wouldn't have been self-defense if you would have stayed in Illinois. Something to think about. We got a call coming from the 504, from the Boot, Louisiana. What's going on in your world this morning?
Hey, God bless you, good brother. How you doing?
Oh, man. Tired, but I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. Well, in terms of justice, just us was served injustice. So
yeah,
that's how the thing goes in terms of blacks and the justice system. It's just us was served injustice. So it's par for the course. Nothing to be surprised about unless we really don't pay attention to history. Blacks and the judicial system is just part of the tradition. The justice system does not look out for blacks. You have to realize that. And I'm not saying 100% of the time, but again, history states that you really can't count on the justice system to come to your aid and defense a lot of the times, you know?
But you know, why is it just us, as we always said, and all will continue to say? We can run people out of the country. We have people with Haitian descent came. They came a long way to Mexico. And did you see how fast they got them off there? How about the other immigrants that have walked up to the Rio Grande?
They can come on in and
do domestic work
and get college. Yeah, and get college scholarships and all this kind of stuff. You know, housing and jobs. You know, they make themselves at home, but we struggle just to get those basics of life. You know, we've been here hundreds of years, and many of us are still having problems getting those same types of things. Other immigrants just walk on in and pick up and move on about their own business. So we have to fend for ourselves. God leading us through the way, of course, obviously. You always have to have a spiritual foundation, but you have to realize that between God and yourself, that's what you have to rely on and plan accordingly and hope for the best from there.
And sometimes that's your only blanket of comfort is through prayer.
And
we can't give up on that. You know what? We must think smarter and not work harder. As we all have. But the thing is, it's trying to get us a political position, which is going to be even harder now. You look down at the kids in Florida. You still fighting a mask? Come on, man. You got more fish to fry. You got more fish to fry. You know, the numbers are going back up in the state of Florida, and they need to correct that. Texas, other places.
Right.
Put the energy into a mask. There are people that are hungry, people that are homeless. Let's put some emphasis on that. Try to get them off the street.
Yeah.
Wintertime is coming.
Right.
Especially everything above Tallahassee. Even Tallahassee getting cold, but this is the time that we need to be making sure that shelters are ready. Because we can't afford to have another February like we did this year, earlier this year.
Right.
Especially in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is that we, you know, I hear this song in my head every day, we shall overcome.
Right.
And we will. And I thought in our lifetime that we may be able to win. You know, we made advances for my parents, and I thought we were there. We still got a long way to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. With your military background and everything, you go through an airport, whether it's Louis Armstrong, Hartsfield International, Maynard Jackson Airport, world busiest airport, DFW, McCoy, Orlando. Now you got to look out for other stuff. Now when you go through, do we go through TSA? That might be a good investment. But then again, people who go through TSA, if you've flown lately, they don't take your shoes off. You take your shoes off going through the regular line. If you're a gentleman, you take your belt off.
Right.
But you pay $150.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can bypass all that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So even with the privilege of doing it, the other privilege that come along, that they treat you like the others. And should I say the haves and the haves?
Have not, yeah. Right.
That's how you would go through the airport, through security. As in reference to the TSA versus the traditional conveyor belt.
Right.
Now you're down some airports. I think Miami, I kept my shoes on flying back to Dallas. I don't know how it works, though. But when you go through DFW, you definitely got to take your shoes off and your belt.
Right. Right.
So all these different rules in different places. We don't act like that. And if you have that tan, they can't tan. You definitely don't get a piece of that pie.
Right.
Because all eyes of America is moving down to Brunswick, Georgia now.
I missed out on what's going on with the airports. I vaguely saw something about an airport situation.
A guy tried to squeeze, trying to get a gun through security.
Okay.
Loaded up, and when they located and tried to get it, and it discharged, and I mean it was a mad scramble.
Okay.
Chaos in the ATL.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay.
But I'm just saying, it's just crazy. And then you look at the great state of Texas, as they call it. Man, you can carry it. If you put it on your hip, you can carry it. If I can put a tank in my pocket, they'll let me.
Right.
But there are already guns on the street. Now you're trying to enhance or put a little bit more fuel on what could happen. Because in the hood, what we say, he told him, she told him too. Others been told him for a while. So now I see the market, and I had to catch myself because I know how Cheryl feel about certain phrases. But on the streets, on the street value, you can find anything you want. And that means they'll sell you anything you want. If you got a gun, go out there and learn how to shoot your gun. And you're going to get right in there and shoot yourself or shoot your loved ones. We don't want that to happen. Learn. Learn how to use it. That's the key. But, yeah, there's so much going on. Yeah, but that was the big story out of the airport. Now, of course, Kyle getting off, that was pretty big. No remorse. I still think he should have charged the mother. If she didn't drive him, he shouldn't have been there. He went with the intent.
Yeah.
If you're going to help with a rifle, come on.
Right.
And the judge threw that first. Folks, we got to wake up.
They could have got her on the contributing to the delinquency of a minor, it seems, you know?
Well, he was helping mow down people who was helping us protest.
Yes, she ought to be an accessory to the case.
Oh, absolutely. But here's where the rubber meets the road. He shot people that were trying to protest on our behalf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So did he do them a favor? It sounds like.
Having some states pass laws that you can hit somebody who's a protester under some kind of circumstance or context.
You're allowed to do some crazy laws that they pass in some states.
Every state has the opportunity. If it does not, of course, state law does not supersede the Supreme Court law. But everything up under that can be done no matter where you are, what it is. That's what it is. So they can do whatever they want when they want to. But for this to throw the gun out, throw this out. All right, you're basically taking all of the stain out of the linen. Or the laundry, because he was stained up pretty bad. You walk in the street, how threatened are you when you walk in the street? And it's just so much. Then you have people just corrupting the system, trying to get back the good old boy. And I think about Eric, I think about when my dad was working. And God bless
right.
his soul. And prior to LBJ becoming president, prior to 1963, that is,
mm-hmm.
they were working on some civil rights things with LBJ in Florida. And as soon as Kennedy was killed, LBJ becomes president, and he forgot all the work he was doing in Florida, trying to make a difference. We all know, which is good, I'm happy we got the civil rights. But there was so much pressure on him to sign that, which, of course, we all benefit from it. But it was under duress. He didn't want the watch riots. He didn't want any of that to happen again. Or the riots throughout the country that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
You know, we thank you for at least trying to level the playing field. But he never came back to Tampa to work with that group. See, we all have special needs throughout this country. But if we're going to be the United States of America, then we need to start uniting people, united thoughts, have those united thoughts. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I think they had, when they talk about the United States, I think they all had certain people in mind who they want to unite with, and other people they're not concerned about uniting with. They just want to oppress them. So You know, history right. states that out, you know. Mm-hmm. Unless you just want to live under a rock or live in la-la land and don't see that as for what it actually is, you know.
But the, even that comes with a price.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, yeah. Big price.
With a price. But again, this vicious cycle that we're seeing, you know, I mean, it's been going on in history, throughout history. Emmett Till. And I'm going to throw this out there, and then, Eric, you'll probably get it. But, of course, we understand why Till was beat to death. Okay? Here you have Trayvon, Breonna, Floyd. It's that common thread they all have. And if people are not seeing this, I don't know what to think. But again, as a brother, it's very disheartening when they don't value the life of you or value the life of the people who are trying to help you. Country is going backwards. And I'm going to find that watch that's running backwards because that's what they want, time to go back to where it was. Craziness in this country. And all I've ever said is that when we fight among ourselves in this time, other countries are watching and it's making us more vulnerable for attacks and for someone to get in the infrastructure of this country to tilt the table or tilt the scales. But we have fought, black and white has fought since we got here. In Jamestown. We talk about immigration. Talk about, again, how they brought the aircraft carriers, whatever it took, to take those folks back to Haiti. But Nicaragua, Mexico, they can come over anytime they want. If you're a border, I think it's about 3 or 4 border states in the South, that we must mandate some things. People come and go. And I always said, next time you look at a picture of the Rio Grande, especially where the Haitians were, they're walking across. Now, they're walking on the platform because if they were really coming across, they wouldn't be able to keep their head above the water. Mm.
So it was kind of premeditated. On their behalf, we'll put something there so these folks can walk across.
But when we get the other folks walking, no, we're going to turn that back around.
Yeah.
It just hurts my heart. The advancement that we've made in this country is that it's going backwards. And we've made plenty of contributions to this society. And it just, again, my heart is so full of what is going on in this world. And I've seen some commentary for Ahmaud Arbery's case from his mother, people who run for it on his behalf, and somebody playing citizen's arrest. Come on, man. It's tough. But
and don't forget Zimmerman in Florida.
Yeah.
Don't forget Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman. You know, that clown Zimmerman was playing some kind of
security talk there.
Right. You just deputize yourself. See, can you imagine you and I are deputizing ourselves to do things like that? I don't think it'd get too far. It's just amazing. Amazing how our justice system works against just us. Clarence.
Yeah,
Thomas.
Yeah, blacks really. Yeah, blacks aren't under a justice system. Yeah, blacks aren't under a justice system in the United States. They don't have a justice system. They have a, I guess, a punishment oppression system. That's more accurately the way I look at it. No justice is about oppression and punishment system. And a different set of rules for African Americans to follow compared to everybody else, you know.
Always have been.
That doesn't mean you don't.
Always have been. If it was before in your mind, very obvious now. Very, very obvious of what is going on in this country.
And for some blacks, right? And for some blacks, their way of dealing with this is just go for themselves, become very individualistic, very selfish, look out for themselves, and the heck with the rest of the African-American community or the black community, you know. So we're going to have some blacks who will go along to get along and live in la-la land so they individually can succeed at the expense of the rest of the black community. So to watch some Uncle Toms, I guess, you know, as we say, and how they're going to contribute to this mess that we're in, along with dealing with the white racists, you know. So those are things we have to plan for and understand and work around that, you know. You know, when the justice system does not come through for the black community, what are the repercussions that the black community have for that system, you know? Is it some kind of economic consequence that we have to exact on the society, or what is our counter to this, you know?
Well, you know, you talk about economics. You know, we look at school. When our kids can't get money to go to school, well, we're not going to put out educated blacks. I mean, every direction that we may walk in, there's some type of barrier.
Right.
Okay? You know we got to pay ones who make the least amount of money, probably pay the most money.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned obstacles, because a lot of people, that's part of when you're in a war and battle, you have to acknowledge that there are going to be obstacles and that there are obstacles. And that way you can plan accordingly. But some people don't want to acknowledge there are obstacles or just want to run away from dealing with the obstacles. So you have to know they're there and fight those obstacles accordingly. Because otherwise we'll just continue going around in this circle here. Really, it's not a circle. Mm-hmm. It's just a straight line going downward almost, you know?
Right.
So.
But here's something that just continues to happen. You know, it's like a circle starts where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on this vicious cycle of things are going round and round. And round and round. And something needs to try to fix this because, again, we're worried about the South border. We're worried about people of color. But what's coming into the airport? What's coming into Dulles? What's coming into Kennedy? What's coming into LAX? What's coming into Seattle? What is coming to Dallas? But we don't worry about that part of it. We don't at all. So it's a lot going on in America right now. And we have not made any changes for the better in this country. We have not. We have not. But there, hold on there. We're going to try to make things a little brighter. Let's get some black college football in. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the world of Cole and Drew. We're going to go over some black college sports. We cover everything from SIC, I'm getting going today. SIC, CIAA, MEAC, Quest, football action. So much is going on in football and our black college sports, and we're going to watch some things going on. But it was Mississippi State over Tennessee State, 55-10. Texas A&M over Prairie View, 52-3. Morgan State over Georgetown, 28-21. Howard over Virginia Lynchburg, 56-6. They called the game in the second quarter. North Alabama over Hampton, 35-27. Gardner Webb, 36 over North Carolina A&T, 27. South Carolina State over North State, 31-21. North Carolina Central over Delaware State in overtime, 34-28. Jackson State over Alcorn, 24-10. Alabama A&M over Arkansas Pine Bluff, 52-24. Alabama State over Texas Southern, 24-21. And out of Orlando, and I will see, out of Orlando, Florida, the Rattlers of Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University were in battle with the Bethune-Cookman College. I said it, Cookman College. They want to call themselves here BCU. We gave them a good old BCC with it, like we used to beat them in the old days. And the game was a beautiful game, a lot of rain early, but the football guards took care of the game. Everybody was dry, good footing, and the final score 46-21. And hopefully we'll hear from some folks today. If you get a chance, look at the playoff report to see if the Rattlers or anyone get a bid for the FCS championship. And that's the football championship where you play for it and not the bowl series. This has been Andrew Rizzo for Black College Sports. Let's keep it moving. All right, Eric, next weekend is going to be a big weekend down in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
The
Bayou
Classic.
Yeah, about it, of course. Yeah, Grambling and Southern, so people are, you know, getting hyped up and pumped up.
They're having great years, but you know what? When that game is being played, just like FAMU and Bethune-Cookman, you know, it energizes our community.
Mm-hmm.
To come out and support these schools. Well, a lot of people support our schools, but are they sending our kids to our schools?
Right, we need to take
that into account. Everybody on Claiborne, down on Canal Street, and I'm trying to think all the mother Charles, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But
right. What
are they doing? Are they sending their kids to the schools? Are they
exactly.
sending money to programs at these
right.
schools?
Right.
That's
right.
what we
That's the key. You know, and then we need the universities to come through too. You know, because I'm looking at Howard. I just hope that doesn't really damage the reputation of Howard right now to the point where you're going to have people being turned off towards Howard and wanting to send the children there. You know, so these universities are going to have to reciprocate support that they do receive. You know, and I'm sure Howard could have gotten more support, but man, I tell you, man, over the decades, you can just you know, people have such bitter stories towards Howard when they matriculated through Howard, you know. And
wow.
you know, people still have holds and resentment about their time at Howard, you know, going decades back, you know. So,
right.
You know,
but
Howard,
that could be said
in spite of that.
Excuse me for interrupting. That could be said with any HBCU because we know it's no utopia. And we've had, look, ending lines and, had to deal with conditions were not that favorable.
Right.
But it's tough and tough. You know,
yeah.
I had to go to sleep with my jacket on sometimes, unfortunately, at FAM. You know, if you don't, what's the old
right.
if it don't kick, just make it stronger.
Right.
But
right.
it was fun because it just wasn't me. It was the whole storm that had some issues. No more than one or two nights. So they got them back fine. Got them back online. We were in good shape. The same can be said during the winter. The summertime, if things get extremely hot, you need that air in there. So those things happen. They could happen to the child. But the thing
now,
is,
fam,
that
you,
we
y'all never had to, fam, you, y'all never had to protest against your own administration, though, did you?
Not to the magnitude of Howard. We've had some.
So I've been.
Yeah, Howard took over. They those kids took a different angle.
And that's been going on since the 60s, where you had people taking over the administration building at Howard. This has been going on since the 60s. So you all have an efficient way of choosing leadership to run your university where you don't have to have students protesting against the administration, you know?
Well, Howard is a government-operated school, and they have certain people in Washington and that can put people in place. And sometimes it may not be to the liking of that particular school or who they're from.
That's good. Right. Right.
Well, the kids were complaining about monies and other conditions on campus. You know,
right.
It's a travesty when it happens with us, but then you go to USC and these other schools do, and they have similar problems. But the kids are just working out. The kids are just trying to make sure that equality is expressed throughout our campus. You know, that's the statement that you get. But, you know, again, if it wasn't any kids, then the university wouldn't have nothing to do.
Exactly.
So you have a right to, you know, and this is not just new. This has been going on for a while. But they did take a hostile takeover. So it's, you know, it's different times, and again, if there's a certain amount of responsibility, let's start on the lower end. There's a certain amount of responsibility that you need to have for your school, responsibility with your school, and then on the flip side, the school responsibility their students. And if you're not getting in the middle, these kids are a little bit more short tempered than we were at that age. But again, you know, you train for leadership and you want to make sure that these kids know how to get what they want and how to go about
it.
Strong arm is not going to get it all the time, because when you come in too strong, sometimes people don't listen. They're not interested in your conversation. So we need to teach how to be forceful by not being forced. We put a raise on, sit in, and block people in their office. All they're going to do is call the law. You are with a record. They take you and they go fingerprint. So again, that's, you know, the nature of the beast with their FAMU. I mean, of course, we hear about Montgomery, Alabama with the bus boycott. We hear things that happen in Greensboro, North Carolina, sitting in at the at Walgreens or Woolworth at the time, sitting in. But Tallahassee has its own little thing. They had a bus boycott in 56 that you don't hear much about. They don't want to hear about. Again, the common thread is everything down south. You're trying to get some quality within, you know, in your lifestyle and the things and places you go. So the students have been doing this for years. This is nothing.
Andrew, how much do you know about that Tallahassee bus boycott? How much do you know about that? That's the first time I've ever heard about it.
Yeah, quite a bit. Reverend C.K. Steele, who was a prominent pastor there, and knowing him probably was part of the SCLC, I'm sorry, Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And they had the same issue in Tallahassee, and they sat down and refused to utilize the services of Tallahassee transit system. And, you know, the kids don't use it as much. You have some locals that use it. Because, you know, a lot of kids in school now got cars. Well, right. We were not afforded the opportunity right off to have cars.
Right.
So that's a major means of transportation.
So they made major dent in the pocketbooks of the bus company at that time?
Of course. Anytime you don't ride, they don't make money. But now,
all right.
They get all kind of federal dollars if they don't meet their goals.
Hmm. That's interesting. I wonder if that was going on back then, or did that come about after these bus boycotts where you can get federal help if you don't meet your goals, you know, financial
right.
goals. That's interesting. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
But then the only way we could stand up for something was to sit down or don't get on the bus at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was
mm-hmm.
the only
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to research that that whole Tallahassee bus boycott. That's interesting. Because there was a lady, I forgot her name, but she wrote a book about the Montgomery bus boycott. She was one of the head organizers, you know. And as I stated before, you know, it's been interesting as blacks at that time said, well, you know, we'll just keep this boycott going so we can keep this money in our own communities. Develop careers and jobs for the current generation and generations to come. Instead of giving the racist bus company the money, we'll just keep our own transportation system that we set up. Because they said what they did in Tallahassee and Montgomery was the forerunner to Uber that you have now in terms of blacks providing their own transportation through cars, you know, and paying each other for the service, you know. But, yeah. So thanks for that black history there, you know, about Tallahassee.
Oh, yeah, well, that's where we want to always leave with a little something than what you came with. But, you know, whenever we came the first, actually, to boycott in Montgomery, a lot of people don't realize it wasn't Rosa Parks. You know, they've always led to believe that. And actually, it was a student, and I'm trying to get her name right quick.
Her last name was Colvin. Was that the last name? Colvin was the last name, I think. Colvin. Colvin. And I forgot her first name. Bernadette Colvin. It may have been her name. Because they were going to use a young black lady. To do
it was Claudette Colvin.
Yeah, Claudette Colvin, yeah.
Yeah, Sylvester, the Asian, you know, refusing to give up her seat. While a white woman
right.
On segregated bus 9 months before Rosa Parks, and they just sent it to the young adult to do it. And see,
right.
We don't hear about that story all the time.
Yeah,
we don't hear.
Yeah, she's still living, matter of fact. As far as I know, she's still living.
Yes, she is still living.
And yeah, that'd be an interesting interview, Andrew, if you can get her the interview, you know, maybe for Black History Month.
We'll talk to Cheryl. We're going to get some more people in. You know, a few things that we can do. I know the holidays are coming up, and we want everyone to be safe. Remember the reason for this. And please be careful as we travel for Thanksgiving. I'm going to be in Dallas. We're having an HBCU basketball tournament. Featuring Dillard, Xavier, Paul Quinn, Arkansas Baptist, Philander Smith, just to name at our new gym.
Right. Well, congratulations. New gym.
So we're trying to do some good things in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas only has one HBCU, and they're trying to do some things. They moved up in the early 90s. From Waco, Texas. That's Paul Quinn College.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in
right.
Jimmy Church. Paul Quinn was one of our kids. And along with Edward Waters and Morris Brown, the name of Allen College was named after Richard Allen, who founded the AME Church.
Right.
So a lot, you know, as far as our HBCUs, the popularity is up. And there's a certain amount of responsibility that these schools, we get in our kids back, and they deserve the same sound education that any institution can.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all these HBCUs can learn from what's happening at Howard and make whatever adjustments that may need to be made or may not be. Any adjustments may not be necessary. They may be doing a fine job already. But I think they all need to look at what's happening at Howard so the HBCUs can continue to benefit from this crest of attention and awareness and appreciation so that they can – so this is just not a fad, you know, because so many times mm-hmm. things that become popular in the black community end up being fads and they die off. We can't afford to have this to be a fad and it die off, you know.
You're absolutely correct. Because you know what, we've gotten in the mindset, if it can't benefit me personally, then I don't want to participate. Mm-hmm. But we need not be selfish and say my actions can benefit someone else
mm-hmm.
or us collectively.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we need.
Right. Exactly. And there's so many things, not just it affects the students, it affects the university and also the community. You know, you have a lot of jobs that benefit the black community from HBCUs, you know. So the more success the HBCU can experience, the more success the communities around those HBCUs can experience. So it's a rippling effect. And it's too precious of a situation to just be playing with and dilly-dallying with and not doing your best diligence to make sure these institutions continue to thrive, you know.
Right. And, you know, most of our HBCUs, very few are in major cities. That's something that that we must, you know, take in consideration as well. Because if you look at it, Mississippi has a lot, Alabama, and they're a little small towns.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Montgomery
mm-hmm.
is the capital of Alabama, you know, you have Alabama State there, Alabama A&M
right.
is in Huntsville. Actually, not in Huntsville,
mm-hmm.
but that's the largest city in that area, so they always be in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Jackson is in the metropolitan area, which is not very big
uh-huh.
Compared to a lot of other cities, but it is there in Jackson. And then Dallas, we have one. Houston has one.
Yep. Now where I'm from, you have Central State in Wilberforce, which is in Xenia, Ohio, which is 30 miles outside of Dayton, Ohio. You know, and so it's sort of a rural setting, also.
So y'all got a chance to listen to a little Sugarfoot, huh?
Oh, definitely. Sugarfoot and Satch and all those guys.
Yeah. You know, right now with the popularity of our historically black colleges and universities, you know, we need people to still give to these schools so they'll be able to finish their mission, or not finish, but continue the mission that they've been on for many years. And we've been very successful doing that.
Yeah.
And I know
right.
we have some brothers and some sistering coming up with some new that don't attend our HBCUs and frown. And I don't frown on the other institutions. They've been providing knowledge for years.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at a HBCU, and, you know, food, I shouldn't be thinking about food all the time. But sometimes it's good to have a potato pie
mm-hmm.
versus a sweet potato like they've commercialized sweet potato. Just give me a potato
right.
pie. We need what to put in,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the smeg, the brown sugar, whatever's needed.
Right.
See, Meemaw didn't give all her recipes out.
Right.
And let me be
right.
clear. Say this story all the time. A lady was award-winning ham presenter. She cooked it, and people just loved how she cooked her ham. And she would always cut her ham when she put it in the pan. So they asked her, why do you cut your ham? She said, well, because my mother did. And then she went and talked to the mother. why do you cut your hand? Because my mother taught me that way. So they got the granny and asked her why her hand, and all she said was, because my pan wasn't big enough.
Right.
So sometimes we just do know why you do. See, we follow, but we don't do or find out why things are the way
right.
they are.
Right, right.
So
that's true.
You know, and I hate to see news I've been doing that, trying to show you how and why. And, you know, I mean, PWIs are doing, but it's amazing
mm-hmm.
when you have to find, go to these towns, where can I go get my hair cut?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, right. Over there, over here.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get to HBCU, you can find out anything you want.
Yeah.
Anything. You know,
yeah.
of course, these smartphones, they can look up beauty shops and barbershops.
Mm-hmm.
So when we word about, you got around better. You didn't need, look, go down five picket fences and turn left
mm-hmm.
and then go mm-hmm. at the mailbox and turn right.
Right.
See, that was GPS.
Right.
That was our GPS. And now we do a lot, you know, a lot of things out there. So
mm-hmm.
We've overcome a lot. Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned tradition. A lot of times now, a lot of the young ladies and young men don't know how to cook to even know why a certain dish was prepared a certain way. You know, a lot of us, I'm not sure if it's like this in Dallas, man, but here in New Orleans, you'll have these super long lines outside of Popeye's Chicken. I'm talking about on a daily basis. You know, it's holding up traffic almost to a certain point with it. Is that in Dallas, too, in the black community? You just have all these long lines at these
Look, it's called everybody trying to get that barnyard pimp. That's what I call chicken. you have Williams Chicken. You have a lot of places that sell chicken. Popeye's commercial, but we have a young man, Hiawatha Williams, black uh-huh. millionaire. It was rumored that he may have started at churches and learned a little some helpful hints and been created on the flowering mechanism
mm-hmm.
and quite well. You know,
mm-hmm.
even
mm-hmm.
the first acquired property is pretty smart.
Right.
You find a restaurant mm-hmm. that has gone under, everything in place, so they get it with the drive-through and everything, and you have where you should.
Right.
And he even took the chicken to the people.
Yeah.
You kids, oh, they're going to use some chicken now.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Not far from these fast food joints in the black community, you're going to have all these dialysis centers popping up, you know, because our health practices aren't as they should be as it relates to diet and stress, maybe alcohol and drugs and smoking. And that takes a toll on the body. And now you have all these dialysis centers popping up because our kidneys aren't functioning as they should. You know, so much damage has been done to it that now, you know, I guess that's a whole new business possibilities in the black community for people to do is these dialysis centers.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
very lucrative, these dialysis centers. And at one
mm-hmm.
time, even in the nomenclature of Dallas, Texas, a lot of them are on the south side of the Trinity River. And then you have a few on the north side, but for the most part,
mm-hmm.
we are. And then our brothers and sisters with a Latin heritage in their system, they're starting to have the similarities of these ailments as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a lot
mm-hmm.
of people in diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah.
You know, we may not have the money for the transplant, but we'll try to stay alive that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we have to put that money into fixing our own food and save money
right.
that way. You know, because you can buy a a Big Mac or whatever, or, you know, fries, that costs you, what, $5, $6, $7. You can take that $5, $6, $7 and go to the grocery store and, you know, you get what you need. Meals on end. You can get a loaf of bread, you know, you can get your, you know, you can get your beans, you can get your salad, whatever it is. $6, $7
Right.
That can last you meals where that one meal will cost you $6 or $7 the fast food place, you know. So it's going to be cheaper to prepare your own meals and maintain your health as opposed to just spending all this money on a daily basis.
But, you know, I would like to see, you know, we talk about health and good eating and everything. And so more families just sit down and eat together. You know, everybody's on the go. You go grab that. Hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to be late. I'm going to go ahead and pick up something. We don't value just that good quality time to sit down and talk. I know we should talk about it so much. But a lot of our kids picking up things on the news or from secondhand information. But sit down and just have a good conversation with your kids, family members, and that may be your way of debriefing for the day.
Right.
Or reach out with some cards. Because we just don't do it like we used to. We always sit down at 5, 5:30. You know, you always had a good hot meal.
But,
you have to heat up and a lasagna. And be honest, and I know we have a lot of listeners, and hopefully you all didn't forget, whatever you had on Sunday probably was your Monday meal. And if enough of it, it may have to Tuesday, mate.
Right.
Now we trying to throw everything away, and Lord knows, you know, you can eat off in another day. I don't eat leftovers. Where did you grow up?
And they got it like that, huh?
You know,
yeah, they got it like that.
Even with that, we've gotten bougie. We just don't take that time to do things together.
Right.
You know, you. A lot of you hearing things from the street. Okay. And, you know, if you had a question, but Mom, Dad, what do you think about that? If you have the luxury of Mom and Dad, but still, your family unit, some sisters have done wonderful things carrying the torch for family. There are even some dads that have torch for a family. But just have a dialogue, and you can see where your kids are thinking. We have such a disconnect in the hearing of our children. And it's not hard.
That's true.
The toughest thing about doing it is the time. You got to sit down and have a conversation. Let me tell you from personal experience. Your kids are watching you. They are watching your every move. By no means have I ever said I was perfect. In front of your children, you at least try to give them the best picture forward, you know, moving forward, so they can think and make that a lot easier. And that's all we have to do. Parenting is tough. Yes, it is. But parenting from a mental standpoint can be as cheap as it needs to be by just showing from example, sitting down, having conversations, have a moment now that everybody at the table with the phone. Let me have you for 30 minutes. What's going on in your world?
Or how can we help, you know? We can just think the other day, we need to get this together and say, well, you know, who needs help doing X, Y, Z, or who needs help doing A, B, and C? You know, it's not about a person just fighting this world on their own. You know, you have God, you have people have God has put in your life to help you out with different situations and different things, you know.
Right.
And that's what we need to reach out. You know, a lot of times I don't think we do reach out to one another, you know, because we're talking about talking and having conversations. That's something that we may have to refine our conversation skills. I mean, people are so used to not talking and just texting or not communicating at all. And when you
have a chance to communicate one-on-one direct conversation, you know, that's a skill that people really haven't developed that well, and it makes it hard to do. So that's something we have to look at, how to get back into having, constructive, positive conversations, and how we can help each other out in terms of whatever situation we might be dealing with, you know.
But we need our parents to mandate that we put our phones down at dinner and talk. Because let me tell you, that smartphone is making us dumber. We don't even try to spell anything. You know, some of these phones, you can break over a few characters and then put a word in there for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you spell something or the word it's not familiar with, when you press it, it's a whole different word. And we don't go spell check our text.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you was better sold just to interpret your own text.
Mm-hmm.
But parents got this now with kids, aunties, uncles, grandparents, sit down with the kids and see what's going on in their lives.
Right.
And you don't have to work out. Now, we all been young and we understand what's going on. But, and I say that, sit down and find them.
Uh-huh.
Talk to them.
Right.
Let them talk to you. Find out things. You know, these kids go through a lot in school. Peer pressure is unbelievable. The status of their peers means everything to them. And you don't want your child or relative to go down the wrong road.
Right.
Ooh, I'm impressed because they can do this. I'm impressed because I can do that. No.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make life just as simple as it used to be with all this modern technology. Because it's not going to be enough girls, not enough young girls who are men, because we lose them too fast. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the average, say, if a black girl wanted to marry a black young man, black lady wanted to marry a black man, only 25% of black women have a chance of marrying a black man, you know. And you need black families to have a black community. So that lets you know how much destruction has been done to the black community and the black family, 25%. And I think other ethnic groups or races, it's 2.5 times more that their women can marry somebody within their own community. And we're down to 25%. That's just devastating. I mean, that's just almost the point of saying little or nothing. You know, 20% is not a whole lot there to work with, you know.
But you know what? If you love, that's who you marry. I'm all about that. But I think you should not, if you're in a biracial family, I think you need to make sure the kids understand both sides. Some of the ones where you have a little white mom, you know, the biggest issue I've heard over time is how you do the hair. I'm not with the hair, that type. But you know what? Then the village that we all are part of need to come together and try to help that. I mean, that's something. Talk with your kids. Explain to them the rich heritage that they've that's in their blood. It's tough. But we're going to make it. We've made it this far. We're going to continue to grow.
But, you know, they said before integration, I guess, in the 60s, the marriage rate in the black community was 80%, you know. And then when integration came, it went from 80% to 25%. So, I mean, you know, what is all this bringing us?
I tell you, I guess like Malcolm X said, we just sort of lost our minds in general. We've gotten so many convenient measures in our lives now that we forget how we got to this point. And like I said, even with kids, even with the text, look, maybe you need to text them, do some Instagram to get their attention. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking where we have to be very creative to reach these kids.
Right. Well, you know, I'm on a Facebook page. I think Black Men Encouraging Black Women to Wear Natural Hair. And the basis behind that is that, you know, a lot of us still have problems appreciating and valuing the natural beauty that God gave us, whether it's our skin color, our hair texture, the darkness of our skin. It can be from medium brown, dark skin, or light skin, but we all need to appreciate the color of our skin that God blessed us to have as being Black people, you know. And a lot of people have problems with that, so we have to encourage one another in terms of whether it's natural hairstyles or appreciating our skin color, so we don't feel the need to lighten our skin, or on the other end, wishing that we were darker. You know, some people who are light skin wish they could be darker, you know, but no, you have to value and appreciate what a skin color, you know, God gave you as being a Black person, you know. So we have to support each other that way.
As a people, is that we come in all different shades and colors. We probably have more shades and colors than Baskin Robbins got flavors. And the ice cream parlor. But we all had control of how we look. I mean, from the beginning, some of us wouldn't be who we are today. You do all that changing, we'll walk right by you and don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
But the thing is, take what we've been given and make the best of it. And that's what's going to make it work.
Yes, it's so interesting. You know, you look at the women with these super long eyelashes. I mean, man, you know, I understand you can get to the point where some women can get eye infections because these eyelashes are so long, I guess, and the eyelashes are so long that I guess it collects dust or something along that line. And, but you can't really see how beautiful the woman is because she's got these super long eyelashes that she really can't appreciate how pretty her natural eyes are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, they feel a need. Some women feel a need to have the super long eyelashes, and to me, it looks like who knows what happened to them, you know. But again, it's just that lack of appreciation of the God-given beauty that, you know, God put in them and put on them, you know. And then you have some of the women wearing the blonde hair and all this kind of wigs. I'm glad I don't see that too much, but I do see it. When I do see it, it sort of disturbs me because I'm thinking that they're looking at white beauty standards and that's the way to go, you know. But,
well,
again, it just goes back to us appreciating each other.
I would love some sisters. We put that out there. Let us know. With the lashes and the hair coloring. You know, let us know. We two guys just talking right now. And, again, this is a platform that we can talk about anything. I always ask that we respect the fact that it is Sunday morning, that we keep everything, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but yet and still be able to talk about something as we go. So if it's the lashes and the hair color, ladies, this is a good opportunity to chime in. But hold on, Eric. We have a caller here. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. What's going on in your world this morning? 214-53. Good morning. I guess they didn't realize. Caller from Dallas. Unmute yourself.
Hey, is that me?
Hey, bro.
That's you.
All right.
That's me.
How you doing?
How y'all doing? Boy, y'all doing some things this morning.
Oh, man, we're trying to hold up your legacy, man. That's all we're trying to do.
I can't believe you jumped in on that eyelash thing there, though, brother. That's all I'm going to do is laugh about that.
Man,
you know, I was kind of like, maybe they playing homage to Betty Boop, you know, when everybody found out that she was really a Black woman. But it has been taking a little over the edge of late.
Man, a strong wind would come by and blow them away, man, like a kite or something, you know. Some strong, they got to be careful.
Hey, boy, y'all
they got to wear some ankle. They got to wear some.
They got to wear some ankle weights so they won't fly away, you know, after a strong gust of wind.
See, hey, you know what, y'all? I'm going to stay away from that one because I got some good stuff about that. But, hey, you had like you always had it right. It's Sunday morning. All
Sunday
I'm going to say is, you know, you have to remember when we go to Africa, there were all colors in the rainbow. Sometimes I like them to be able to put on a different wig or something, you know, at least they still us. So that's all I'm saying about
Harold,
that. But
we know where you're born with.
Just walked it's out the house tough. Of the Lord, but that's all right. Hey,
but guys, you know, I think one thing we need to do as men and just everybody as a society, we really need to sit down and just have a conversation. A no holds barred of what's going on and find out with these kids. We need to provide them with historical events that have gotten us this far. Because, again, I am a firm believer, you can't move forward until you know where you've been. And,
that's
yeah,
true.
You know,
that is true.
Sorry, we sit driving in these major cities, and guess where we sit? In the back of the bus. They don't want to even say they rather ride in the back. You know, you got somebody driving. I stood up for years when you didn't have a choice. That's where we sat. Now you got a choice. You still sit. Yeah. The kids don't good.
Right.
Well, Rosa sat in the front. I sat in the back where they told. That's where we fell. No, you don't understand how we got where we are. And that's what we need our children to understand. Children, grandchildren, try to put something in their head. As it relates to that.
Yeah, Andrew, that's very true, though, man. I don't know if you recall, but I've told you several times that my dad is a retired transit operator, and that was one of the things he pointed out to me as a child, man. They get on here, we got air conditioners on the bus. The first thing these youngsters do is come on, go to the back, and open the window. It's just how we are, man. You know, we'll complain about it, then when we get it, we don't appreciate it if you really want to bring it on home. You know?
That's just
how it is, man. And it may be because they haven't been taught our history. And that's one thing Andrew and I talk about a lot, is that somewhere it's been dropped on sharing and passing down the legacy of the things that our forefathers and parents and grandparents had to go through to get to where we are, you know. So we got to take a little bit of responsibility of that, you know, as well.
Oh, yeah.
We'll say they don't know, but how shall they know if nobody tells them?
That's true. That's a beautiful point. Yeah, the generation passed down knowledge and wisdom and history and traditions, you know. And a lot of that has been cut short-circuited, you know. So we can't expect.
And it's by design, too, though, fellas. It's by design, too. You know, like we can go back to the 50s and 60s when they started systematically taking the black man out of the family, you know. So it's not an accident either, you know. But I think if we bond together, we can mend some of them holes in the mortar of the bricks, if you know what I mean. So,
right.
We got to kind of do our due diligence.
Now, I heard somewhere where they said the man is the protector of the culture for a community, which is interesting. You know, that's part of a male's job is to protect your culture, and that would mean passing
that
culture.
I've heard that as well.
You heard that too? Oh, okay.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Yeah.
And a lot of the mother or the women of the community were some of the story keepers, is the way my Native American grandmother told me that they were some of the ones that pretty much passed the story down. But the men were the protectors of that, as well as the women when things were in proper order. I mean, if you want to, we can just go ahead and have some Sunday school.
You really got
deep
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
that's
can have some Sunday school.
Right. So you got the women.
And to be honest with you guys, that's where we went wrong is when we got out of order.
Okay.
You know, so.
So the women are the keeper of the cultures, and the men are the protectors of the culture.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's why we get that mother hold the household together while the daddy go out and get what it takes to keep them strong, you know?
Okay. Okay.
It's a rhyme to the reason.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, you know,
anyway, I ain't mean to come in here at the end. I was enjoying listening to you guys, but I ain't mean to come in just bombarding stuff here, you know.
Oh, man.
But I have to admit, I was cheating.
Man.
I was kind of listening to y'all, though, a little bit. I'm good, you know.
Oh, man. You dropped all the knowledge on us, man. I love that, what you're saying, man.
I get so much from you and Andrew. And have Mark chimed in yet, Andrew? I know you said he was traveling. Because I didn't hear him.
Yeah, Mark still sleep a long night.
Yeah, I get
in Orlando.
That's okay.
A lot of us are in Orlando.
Okay.
So,
that's okay.
But you know what, Hal and Eric is, again, you chimed in on the keeper of a house, keeping it going, and we know how important that. You know, if you were fortunate enough to grow up in a two-parent home, we know mom kept it together. She made sure everybody had what they needed. Dad might have been provided.
Andrew, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but we talked about it, man. I have some friends of mine that come from single-parent homes that, you know, by early death from fathers and stuff like that. But neighbors stepped in such a way that some of them men, they grew up to be, you know, you couldn't even tell that they didn't have a father, because back then we had such a community that the fathers that were there stepped up.
Right.
But the thing is that we need to have dialogue with our boys, our girls. Hey, you know, we just don't talk enough.
That's true.
Put the phone down.
Very true.
Put the phone down. Talk about something. You know, and get these kids going. You know, I mentioned about when they text. They don't even know what they're texting to. First of all, they don't try to do proper. You get laughed at if you try to do proper English. With subject verb.
That's true. That's true.
You know, texting.
But we did too, Andrew. We got called proper and white when we was talking right back then, too. You know that.
Right. But we didn't have the dumb either.
Yeah, that's true. You know, these dumb phones in our pocket. I mean, smartphones.
Yeah, it's hurting our kids. They're smart as a lick, but they can't work. And writing is still a little tool that is needed in this society. And these kids cannot write.
You know what, Andrew? Let me share something with you two brothers right quick, man, that you said talking about writing. Man, I met this young brother, and I'm going to call him young because he's really not that young, but he's younger than us. And he spent a lot of time in prison. He's been out now about 8 years. But you know what he told me one day when we was just rapping? He said, man, not only did prison save his life, you know, we talk about that kind of stuff. It took him out of a violent atmosphere, blase, blase. But he actually told me that he hadn't even written his name since he was like in the third or fourth grade, but going to prison.
Man.
He said, "Your brother learned how to write." And, you know, and it's weird that you mentioned that about the handwriting, and he immediately came to mind. And we don't think about those things, man. And his big brother, I mean, not only did he start back writing, he did a lot of reading, and he actually bettered himself, man. And we always say that, it's a revolving door. Not all of them.
Yeah.
You know, not all of it is just a revolving door.
That's where prison is. That's where it comes to. Is prison going to be a place of punishment, or prison going to be a place of rehabilitation? So it seems like he wasn't rehabilitation.
That's right.
Well, you know, Malcolm X would be a perfect example of that, you know.
That's true. That is so true.
Honed his reading and analytical skills. So, you know, that's a threat when you have blacks being rehabbed in prison. Now, what they'll do, they'll rehab you, but you're going to serve a life sentence while you're getting that rehab. And those who don't have, you know, you can know how to make furniture, build computers, but you're not getting out of jail.
Right. That's right.
You know, you get a life sentence and making those products for pennies on the dollar, you know. Now,
that's why I laughed, though, because he touched on that, man, about how when you start trying to better yourself, your job changes and you end up working for them.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So it's, don't tell me some things aren't systemic, man. I mean, that just rubs me so wrong when people say that there's not systemic, you know, biases and racism in this country, man. It just makes me laugh, to be honest with you, man. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier, people not wanting to look at reality for what reality really is, you know, particularly if you're a black person, you can't see these things. Islam is to the point where you don't want to see it, you know, and enjoying la-la land too much, you know, enjoying la-la land, fantasy world. It's too much fun to leave that, you know. So, but those kind of folks are pulling our people down, you know.
Right. Well, guys, I mean, we've touched on some awesome things today, and I appreciate you all, as always, you know, giving
appreciate you, good brothers. Have a blessed week.
We want you all to chime in, too, because, you know, we want to make sure that when we sit down at the table, everybody's represented. And I thought everybody kind of hit the nail on the head on some things that I thought the phone was going to light up when he was talking about nails and last.
We were hoping to invite some people on to actually have a panel discussion. They can have a panel discussion.
Oh no, they'll be here next week, and they'll be hitting me and Andrew on the text. Trust me, they're here.
Look, guys, I'm gonna do something a little different today. You know, we open up with a lot of the things that. And I'm just going to recap as we go out. Probably got about 6 minutes in. But, you know, again, we talked about Vice President Kamala Harris had presidential duties, responsibilities, even if it was for 85 minutes. She became the highest ranked female that happened to be black. And that's something that happened big this week. The gun discharge in Atlanta, they didn't say any injuries, but again, what was he thinking trying to get a gun, a loaded gun, through security when they caught certain shapes and they stop you for a haircut and you don't think they're going to stop you for a gun? So bad props to the people there in Atlanta trying to keep all the fires safe and... We'll hear more about that. Are we turning the hand time backwards where you already want to suppress those who are black, but now you're suppressing those who are trying to help blacks? We've seen that story. Mr. Gilmore being good to us, and Mr. Charlie got that cold water, but we mad at Charlie for giving you the water with the ice in. See what I'm saying? So are we going backwards? And you think about Kyle Rittenhouse's verdict of non-guilty on 8 counts, I believe, 7 or 8 counts. And, and where are we going? But yet still,
right.
You would have given, and I'm not going to give us the typical, what they call Pookie and Ray Ray, and no, we ain't talk. We're going to give Robert Shaw III a little brother who wanted to do things, and his mama drive him across the line. With a gun.
Right.
Kids
right.
get shot for having BB guns. Kids get shot for having gun pink tips on, I mean orange tips. But this kid had a assault rifle, and he was able to walk through the streets. He was able to go to trial. He was able to go through the trial unscathed.
Right.
You know, what if George Zimmerman? Again, the time... Emmett Till lost his life. How many Emmett Tills out there that we don't know about? With this is an assault on America. And if you're not mad, I don't know what to say for you, but it's got to piss you off if you're a dad, a brother, uncle, you know, and take our children, male and female. But again, can you imagine yourself walking down the street with a gun? You would not be here to talk about it.
Right. No.
That started everybody rolling right by the kid. What was that all about?
Yeah. Right. So.
down in Rome, we got to look at this. He asked for them not to bring the black preacher there. He just specifically, he didn't say, well, can we limit the people? Let me dress it up. Let me see what, if I was the attorney, what I would have said. Your Honor, is there a capacity rule maybe in this courtroom? But can you keep them black preachers out? No, maybe like black preachers out. Instead of saying, can we limit the amount of people that just here from other parts of the country? Anything. Put mayonnaise on it.
Right.
He didn't care. Because they have this brotherhood sense of brotherhood. And I wouldn't be surprised if the gentleman brother get off. And they know they call that young man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Going back to lynching days. Are we going back to the time where you're scared to drive at night? All of these things that we thought we had overcome or overcame. And hopefully to overcome in the future.
Right.
It's not happening.
Right.
It's so important to talk to your kids. If you don't have kids, talk to your nieces, your nephews. If you don't have that, talk to your
kids. That's right. Neighbors. Talk to your neighbors.
Yeah. And have the parents in, because they may not have been able to reach these kids themselves. So, because we need them young folk. And it, when I go to these schools, the only thing in my mind, and maybe wrong, but I'm just to make you laugh for a minute. If they're working when we retire, you know what? We're going to get our Social Security.
But
they put in it.
Yeah.
So if they're not working and not doing anything, it may be depleted by the time we actually need it.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, so, gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of my morning.
God bless you, good brothers. Have a blessed week.
And to all those fine Wildcats of Bethune-Cookman College. Yeah, I said it. I didn't say university. They're BCC to me. I've always said that family today, family tomorrow, family forever. And Cheryl, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be professional for that. We kick that tail. I'm out. Peace. Have a great week.